person nice coming.
Put up.
And now we're your hosts, Fina Page and Alexander.
Exciting. Pete, this theater looks really, really nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
For those of you who don't know, and which is probably everybody, Pete repainted this entire theater.
That's right. That's right.
So please, guys, be careful when raptors trying to scuff things up, all right?
Raptors?
Yeah, it's about
raptors.
They're risers.
Yeah, raptors is like up there.
he just paints.
My head.
I said risers.
How much paint did you snip?
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah. It's one of the perks.
So you got? Did you get paid for this?
I got a Poland Spring water.
Pete's making reference to the fact that we pay our guests in Poland Spring water.
That's right.
You got paid for it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, what did you spend the money on?
I got comics!
Yeah!
Okay, for a long time.
Good use of your money. Really awesome. Yeah. Do you know what else is a good use of our money? Our amazing guests tonight.
Yes, we
so
do.
So let's welcome to ladies and gentlemen, Dan Hopper and Sean Wicked!
Yeah! Yeah.
Thank you for coming. Oh, man. You guys, thank you so much for coming tonight. We really appreciate it. I'm very excited to have you here. So, Sean, let's chat with you. You are the author of a book called How to Lose Your Virginity, which I think is of particular interest to comic book fans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, it's also of interest to me.
I thought that was going to be the cover for the book.
Did you make the cover of your book the Comic Book Club logo?
No, I mean, I thought they were going to put the...
Oh, boy. No,
we're
not that good.
No.
Yeah, we're not that organized.
And I didn't even bring a copy, so you'll have to look for it online and find out.
Nice. Good show. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's called How to Lose Your Virginity or How Not To.
How to Lose Your Virginity and How Not To.
And How Not To. Okay, so tell us about the book a little bit.
I used to live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I saw a film at the Cleveland International Film Festival, and it was a German film about how to this girl went about losing her virginity, and I thought it was fascinating train wreck of a story. It was a good movie, but it was like amazing that a film like this was made. So afterwards, at an after party, I was just asking random people who also saw the film how they lost their virginity, and I was amazed at how many people were open with me. So I decided that this might be an interesting thing to explore. I grabbed a tape recorder that I had at the time stolen from my college.
Was that for stealing or tape recorders?
Yes.
Oh.
College.
All of it.
Yeah. In my defense, it was a tape recorder that was in my office. I was a teaching assistant at the time, and they had forgotten about it. So I thought I had just inherited it.
You earned it. Yeah.
Sure. Now, did you also, while in that office, steal the manuscript for a book?
No.
I thought you were going to say steal somebody's virginity.
Right. Ah, that would have been a better joke. Yeah.
we got to hear both of them, though. So then I just decided to just travel around and interview strangers about how they lost their virginity.
Sure.
I ended up interviewing about 1,000 people. And then,
how did you lose yours?
I lost mine I think it's kind of interesting because this is what put me down the path of being interested in loss of virginity stories. And I didn't tell my girlfriend at the time that I was a virgin because she was vastly more experienced than I was. I think she lost her virginity when she was like 14 in a cornfield.
What?
Wow.
That's incredible.
Romantic.
Yeah.
Was it like 7? Was it really?
I mean, there's corn.
But she was from an area in the country where it was like, all we did was drink and have sex. But
where is that?
Worcester, Ohio.
Oh, man. Worcester, Ohio.
Yeah.
Crazy place.
So I was embarrassed that it was my first time, and then it just sort of, like, stuck with me as, like, a thing. Like, I was, like, embarrassed about sharing my story, so I was just more fascinated in other people's stories.
Now,
so not you avoided the question, though. You didn't say.
Oh, how? Oh, well.
Were you in a cornfield?
No, we were in her room. Her mother at the time was sequestered for a very huge, like, case. Like
was,
a murder trial.
Was she in the cornfield?
No. Wow. Okay. Jonah the Corn was on TV. her mom was on this trial. She was sequestered, so we were sort of in the house by ourselves. I just said to her sort of off the cuff, I was like, how about, we were making out in her bed watching a movie, and I was like, how about we take off her clothes and just lay here?
Yeah.
And really just wanting to just like...
See her naked?
Yeah. and I, you know, it's not the first time I saw a naked woman in person, but like I never actually went all the way. So I was like, she was like, okay. She took off her clothes and she grabbed a condom out of her side table. It's like, oh, well, that's
nice. A little one-upping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah.
Now, not to get back to my hilarious original joke,
right.
But have you thought about marketing this at comic conventions at all?
No, but I mean, that is a good idea. I just actually spent today...
You're welcome.
Yeah. I actually just spent today sending press releases to college newspapers, so I will work in comic book conventions as
Great.
Well.
Nice.
Cool. Dan, let's move over chat with you. You are one of the lead writers for bestweekever.tv.
Yep. Woo!
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. Makes me laugh.
All right. Great. Well, I'm used to humans being on the other end of what I write. what's that noise?
We were talking a little bit backstage. You don't have a lot of experience with comic books, but you were, as a kid, you were an avid collector of Marvel cards.
Yeah. Well, I read comics for maybe, like, 5-6 years, but I got really, really into the cards. I have, I think I still have in my house in Pittsburgh, I have all of Series 1 and Series 3. And
oh man, those are worth nothing.
Not yet.
Sentimental
apocalypse comes.
Sentimental value. There was sentimental value.
Yeah. Well, if you need to know, you know, Colossus's fighting ability in numerical form from 1 to 7, I can fly to Pittsburgh and look it up, and or just Google it, or just that one.
No, no, fly to Pittsburgh.
Right. We want authenticity.
How come you didn't bring it?
I didn't think to. Yeah, I don't.
Wow, you didn't bring your book. You didn't bring your book. You guys, terrible.
That's not equally forgettable.
Yes, it is.
You didn't bring the book you're promoting. Can I bring my Marvel cards from 15 years ago that are in my house in Pennsylvania?
I was told the show was basically sitting on a couch and hanging out. Normally when I go to somebody's house and sit on their couch and hang out, I don't bring a copy of my book.
Yeah, that's true.
Really?
No books.
I always assume when I go over somebody's house that I'm going to have to present things.
Yeah.
So, I bring my Marvel cards to everyone's house. I kind of feel bad I didn't bring them here.
That's a little embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, not to put you on the spot here, but I feel like, but I will, you seem sort of like the geek expert for Best Week Ever. Would you say that's correct?
Well, sort of by default. It's a pretty small staff. And it's two other girls, so by default I'm, I guess, geekier than them, and one other guy. But yeah, whenever there's like...
And that guy's like super into sports.
Yeah. actually, I'm super into sports. It's kind of weird to reconcile.
That's not allowed.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't sure.
But he's into their like strength scores.
Nice. Sports-related graphic novels, mostly. One of the originals, though. They always screw it up in the movies. But, yeah, it's kind of weird, like, when... I don't know, if, like, someone speaks, like, a little bit of Spanish, but everyone else around speaks no Spanish, it's like, Dan, what are they saying? And I, you know, it just, by default, kind of comes to me. But usually they also don't know enough about dorky stuff that I can impress them with really easy stuff.
Like,
I probably couldn't finagle my way here.
Well, good luck on the show. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
All right. First thing we are going to talk about, guys, is the last chapter of World War Hulk's Hulk number 24. Yeah! Great. Now, Pete.
We're all excited.
Yeah. Pete, you like things that go smash.
I do. I do.
Pete, are they going to be allowed to take these out of the sleeves?
Yeah, just be careful, please. No. that book in particular is going to be worth a lot of money someday. I'm going to retire on that one. It's the old Red Hulk versus Green Hulk. The old stop and go routine. green light, red light. But it's pretty disappointing. It's pretty disappointing.
What was disappointing about it?
Well, there wasn't enough fighting, obviously. I mean, look at that cover. You just think it's going to be wall to wall action, punching, constant. I mean, they talked. They were talking things out.
But they were also thinking.
Which is
weird. Yeah. So red thought and then green thoughts for
sponsors. Well, this is something Jeff Loeb, who wrote the issue, he does that a lot. That's definitely sort of his trope. I don't know if it started
colored
with...
Colored thoughts?
What?
Colored thoughts.
Colored thoughts. Yeah, he's Jeff Colored Thoughts Loeb. he did it for Superman Batman, and he does it again here, where it's two narrations going on at the same time as the action. My biggest problem with the issue, and this is probably, hopefully, the nerdiest thing I'll say this entire show.
Nope.
thank you for correctly interpreting that. Is right at the top on the third page, there's the Red Hulk's narration. The Red Hulk says, "I'm General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross." And then for the Green Hulk, he says, "I'm Dr. Robert Bruce Banner." And the Hulk wouldn't think that, right?
Yeah.
You guys? He'd be like, "Me Hulk, me, I'm Smash."
Yeah, exactly.
Or I'm the Hulk. Or he hates the Hulk. Hulk hates Bruce Banner.
He does. So but in this one, he's kind of like taking a step back, and he's able to look at the two people that equal him and talk about them separately and really put them into separate boxes and look at his, you know. And then he's also talking about his wife, Betty, and the Red She-Hulk as separate. It's a very advanced Green Hulk.
Seriously, how much of that paint did you...
All of it.
Nice.
All of it. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to move on. Next thing we're going to talk about, I can't see through this thing that you put it in. What is this thing called? Sleeve?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's clear. You should be able to see through it. Are the fumes getting to you now?
Okay. Brightest Day, number 8, you guys. This is the 8th chapter of 26 of the Brightest Day saga.
Oh, man.
Where
they're just flying by.
Where somebody in the DC universe is eventually going to become a White Lantern, representing life in the world.
You kind of trailed off there.
Yeah, well, we've talked, I think, extensively about this, but you guys come into this clean. Any thoughts on this issue?
Clean? From the micro one?
What?
Yeah.
Did either of you get to read this?
I did. I didn't totally follow it. I feel like...
it's a little crazy.
It sort of dropped right in the middle of it, too.
Yeah.
Knowing what was going on without some hot girl backstory. She's carrying a mace or something?
Yeah. It's a weapon of choice.
No, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to explain Hawkgirl's backstory, right?
Sure.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, okay, so there was the original Hawkgirl. Yeah, she was bit by a radioactive hawk. That's it.
Oh, man.
No. I mean, this is part of the problem, is this is very steeped in continuity, and the Hawks in particular, they're trying to reconcile every continuity of the Hawks at the same time, and it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. That's actually the best way you could describe it to somebody. It just makes no sense, so I'm not even going to try.
Do you think there's anything that is good about this issue?
The last page reveal is, I thought it was great in a horrible way.
What was that?
Where they're like, because there's this magical forest that keeps growing, and Green Arrow or, you know, Robin Hood.
This one?
Yeah, is the forest ranger. And he's been in charge. He's been banished to this forest for a while, which is hysterical. And now all of the problems and all of the things going wrong in the DC world right now is all going to be tied into this forest, which I think is just a great move. Just a super move. It's all going to be blamed on these magical trees that keep growing and pulsating and no one knows what to do with.
Well,
except one forest ranger who's been banished to the woods. He'll know what to do.
Man, that is so close to like a million cartoons, and I just can't... Anyway, all right, let's move on to something we are not going to talk about,
yes.
You guys. Ex Machina, number 50. closing up the series.
I am so upset we can't talk about this.
Now, here's
the thing. So much stuff in this comic.
I don't even want to know that there's a lot of stuff, Pete. This is crazy.
Why are we talking about it? Because it's too good?
No. We can't talk about it because...
Okay, I mean, yeah. Here's the thing. I read a lot of comic books for the show. Good night,
sure.
Pete. I read a lot of comic books for the show. There is one title that I read in trade because I enjoy reading it in chunks, and I started reading it in trade, and that's Ex Machina, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I haven't read this.
So we're supposed, even though we're doing a live comic book show right now, because you don't want to spoil something, we shouldn't talk about it, even though it's...
Yeah.
There's so much that happens
well,
in this all right, book.
I'll tell you what, because I don't want to leave it up to me. Why don't we take a vote from the audience?
All right.
Take a vote from the audience.
I'm on Team Alex.
Yeah.
What?
Is he?
I'm so on Team Alex.
Okay, all right.
Wait. Hold on. I got to ask something first. Do you guys know how voting works? Leave it for Political Book Club.
I can say one thing about it that doesn't give anything away.
Oh, please.
I went to high school with Brian K. Vaughan.
What? And you both ended up with the same head?
Yeah, you go to the same barber.
That's right. My bathroom with a razor.
Yeah. What was he like in high school?
Yeah. Did you beat him up and take his money?
No. I didn't really know him. Maybe he would recognize me. I'm not sure. But my vividest memory of him is him doing David Letterman impersonations at our high school athletic rallies.
Pep rallies? And you guys were in the back, like, just doing jokes?
I was just sitting in the audience, you know. But he, like, did something where he was, like, behind a desk, and he had a Paul Schaefer, and he would, like, bring out guests and stuff.
He did this in front of the whole school?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, do you feel like that came through in this last issue?
How did he lose his virginity?
It was probably college. We went to an all-guys school.
You are.
What's that?
Nothing.
Save it for the Q&A.
Yes. So we were going to take a vote of the audience whether we wanted to talk.
I think we should just say, you know,
say no.
I mean, if you don't want to talk about the amazing things that happened this time.
Here, I'll ask you very simply, just because I am curious to know. Anyway, were you happy with how it wrapped up?
That's the crazy thing. No comic has ever wrapped up like this before.
It's that bad.
It's... You would think... I'm trying not to spoil this for you, but you would think most very successful, very well-done comics, on their 50th last issue, they would kind of just be like, hey, thanks for the ride, here's an ending. Like, he tried so many different shit in this last issue, it made me question all of it.
Whoa.
Would you say another big...
Both. Like
compare it to something else. Another big series that he tied up in the past couple of years is Why the Last Man.
Right.
How do you feel that this ending compares to the ending of...
And I think that was also part of it. Like, he's coming off two different series, right? Why the Last Man, awesome. He didn't try, like, a crazy twist in the last issue. He didn't... It's completely different. It's not like...
I can actually see your brain breaking.
Why the Last Man was... It was great from start to finish. Like, there was some crazy stuff along the way, but the last issue was kind of like this is the summing up of the storyline. This is kind of like the ending. Thanks for the ride. Thanks for enjoying it with me. Done. Bow on neat. You know, like that. All tied up nicely in a little bow and a little thing. Yeah. It's the complete opposite. I feel like he finished that series.
If you could describe it like you would describe some sort of a box.
It's more of a picture of an open box with a hand punching you in the face. And then...
What a twist when you open that box.
Yeah, it's a different kind of box.
Now I get it.
You know, in that case, is it your own hand? Is it your own hand in the box?
You're questioning that. You're like, am I punching myself? Or is this... You know, yeah, it's a whole... Yeah.
Wow, that sounds really good. I can't wait to read it in trade. All right, that's one.
I want a phone call as soon as you finish that.
No. Uncanny X-Men, number 527.
I love how close we are.
You're a great guy, Pete. Continuing the Five Lights storyline, after years and years, mutants are popping back up, maybe, in the Marvel Universe, and the X-Men are traveling around to reactivate them. What do you guys think about this issue?
That's not what happened. This issue... White Queen had a date with Namor there, the Prince of the Sea, and they had sushi. He talked about sushi the whole time. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
The sushi.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Can I just mention, I mean, it makes sense that people who live under the sea would eat fish. But there's something that totally creeped me out about Namor eating fish.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, he's eating his friends that he talks to. But
really
he doesn't talk to fish, does he?
No, that's Aquaman. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Get with it.
All right, so it'd be creepy if Aquaman was
he
like...
He might talk to him, they just don't answer back.
That's why he eats them.
Yeah.
Because he's so angry.
Yeah.
He's like, I've
why
reached,
won't you talk to me?
I've reached my limit with you guys.
Yeah.
Get in my mouth.
Never say that again.
Well, did that mean something else?
Oh my God.
What do you think about this issue, Pete, other than the date?
It was horrible. It was X-Men is driving me nuts lately. Fraction is driving me up a wall. It's all these weird kind of like... They just keep pushing the same envelope. Like, can't trust the White Queen. You don't know what she's... Is she a bad guy? Is she a good guy? She's kind of a bitch. She kind of goes around and sees all the dudes when Scott Summers ain't looking. Like... Do something with that. Stop.
Well, I think
playing.
They're getting there. I mean, they're getting there very slowly, but they're getting there.
She's been on like 80 dates in this fucking series. It's ridiculous. Goes out with Tony Stark, goes out with Namor.
That's
has
true.
Secret meetings in back rooms that don't even exist. Like, what the fuck? Scott Summers needs to sit down with his wife and have a talk.
Well, they're not married.
Well,
his
girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I think we really settled that.
I feel like in this issue that there's when he's having dinner with her, he keeps making fun of Cyclops, and she keeps like getting offended and defending him. And I just wonder if White Queen knows that everyone always makes fun of Cyclops. It's just like, yeah, of course. The characters do. We do. Why is this shocking to her? I don't know. I guess she's just defensive.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on. Image United number 3, last, maybe least, Pete?
Yeah, probably least.
You were very unhappy with this issue.
Well, they take forever to come out. It's this big event at Image where they have all these amazing artists, all these amazing writers, and they can't quite get it together to come out on time. There's a lot of finger pointing going on. So then you think, okay.
There's not, I mean, to be fair, there's not a lot of finger pointing going on. Everybody that we've talked to who's been involved in this for months and months, we say, what's going on with Image United? They just laugh and laugh, and then they're quiet, and we're like, no, really, what's going on with Image United? And they say, talk to Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
So, Todd McFarlane. That's
I call that finger pointing.
Well, it's not all over the place. It's one very specific place.
Well, it's people pointing the finger at one guy.
I think we're saying the same thing.
Well, all right, but you want to get into the semantics, so anyways. So what's upsetting about this, though, is that, like, okay, finally came out. Great. I can't wait to see all the different pages, all the different art, all the different amazing stuff, if I may. I want to show the audience what I'm talking about. And it's just horrible. It's really upsetting. It's very half-assed.
While you're finding that page, what did you guys think about this?
I was just going to say that the boobs on the cover are pretty disturbing, even for comic book cover boobs. Even by lofty comic book boob cover standards, they're pretty disturbing.
What are those standards?
Yeah, what are the boob standards for...
I'm not saying where the boobs are.
That's actually
the boobs.
That's a like, dragon guy, like, I think the dragon
guy.
One
here and one here, but they're huge, but they're like a person apart.
Now, when did you lose your virginity? I'm not serious yet. I want to say I usually read everything on the show. I didn't get time to read this, but I was flipping through it very quickly backstage, and the first thing I flipped to, the first page, the first big dialogue, was a character saying, "This doesn't make any sense."
Yeah.
So that's the only sentence that I read in it. Did it make any sense?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
And that's also upsetting is when you have characters like, "This is crazy, right? Why would you buy this? I don't know." It's like, damn. But one of the things, like, when you have a lot of great artists, you hope, and for big events, there's always a lot of great splash pages. this is the splash page that they put in there.
Yeah, that was okay. that was a little annoying.
That took 2 seconds. Like, what? Why did we have to wait 8 weeks for this?
I didn't know who was getting affected there. Is that the good guys, the bad guys?
Yeah, it's
everybody.
A little...
I think everybody.
Did each letter in that.
Yeah, and then Tom McFarlane did one page at the end. He got one page in there. It was like, come on, guys.
I was kind of split on the art. The first Omega Spawn drawing, I thought it was great, and I had trouble reading everything that was on it. Because I was like, oh my god, this guy, this is a bad guy. This guy right here.
Yeah, that's the other.
There's a, 2 pages later, there's a picture, there's a dragon getting punched, and it looked very lame and childlike.
So you're saying a picture of a dragon getting punched looked childlike?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Just checking.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool, that's it for the stack.
Yeah!
Guys, we are going to move on to the next section, which is my favorite section, because you make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Boothman!
Boothman!
And if it's your first time at the show, just so you know, Boothman lives in the booth. And he's taking ballet.
In the booth. So I got some questions.
Sweet.
Captain America's role in Civil War. Pro... Con, ambivalent.
Ooh.
Okay. How many of you have read Civil War? Okay. You got, first of all, I'm glad you guys figured out how to vote. That's nice. Okay, so basically Captain America was against, for those of you who didn't read it, the heroes registering as superheroes in Civil War, got in a big fight, eventually was like, God, I was wrong, and got taken off to jail and then shot. And then came back to life because of a time bullet. We're not going to get into that. So what do you think, Pete?
Well, yeah, I think it's... I agreed with Captain America. I thought it was ridiculous that these people who fight for our country and defend our lives then have to give away their secret identities, because if someone broke into a computer, they could find out who they are and torture their family. So I was pro-Captain America.
Oh, wow. That's really intense. All right. What about you?
Did I just blow your mind? You're like, what?
No, I mean, that's a well-reasoned argument, I guess. What about you guys? Any thoughts?
Well, you can't just let people sign up for the military without, you know, some kind of identification, right?
Right.
So I guess it becomes like bureaucracy versus do we want Spider-Man in battle or something, you know? But I don't know. I kind of admire them just sticking to their policy.
Yeah.
Like how can you just enlist like an anonymous person? I don't know.
The biggest problem, I think, and I will say that I actually like Civil War quite a bit, but the biggest problem with it is that it's taking a real-world logical loop and sticking it into an illogical world. And that's the reason it doesn't work. Because, yeah, sure, if there's superheroes walking around with powers, you don't want people being like, pew, 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 I have a gun, pew, 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 all over town. And then be like, yes, I have used a lot of guns.
They
Yosemite
guns,
Sam.
They're literally just going pew, pew, pew with their fingers.
Yeah, nothing's coming out.
That's weird.
It was about getting rid of weirdness, getting rid of weirdness in the Marvel Universe. And they did a good job of that. So there you go.
What? You just said pew, 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 getting rid of weirdness.
I think I made my point.
Yeah, that was a great point.
Raise your hand if you asked that.
I have a question for Pete. Yeah. Are you fine? All right, so you don't want their secret identities in a computer, but the secret recipe for KFC has been a secret for, I don't know, decades, 50 years?
Yeah.
What if we put all of those secret identities in the vault, the KFC recipe?
Oh, I thought you were going to say we should all walk over to KFC, demand
to know.
Changing the subject.
Yeah, it'll be like, we'll never tell you.
I really want that recipe.
No. I like how you're like, what if I throw the KFC recipe in there? Does that change your mind? No. I feel
sure
like...
there's a safe way to...
You can't ask the superhero... it's Captain America.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
What if it was just a voluntary...
Like a soul, just like a.
People who do want to register, they register. Those who don't.
But they know other people's identity.
Yeah. Well, then it would be like, okay, one person walking around going pew, 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 and being like, I have to register because I think it's the right thing to do. And the other person would be like, pew, 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 I don't care. You know, and there's all these people. And you're like, how do I tell the difference between the guy who's going pew, 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 and the other guy who's going pew, pew, pew?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's that famous pew 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 argument.
Yeah.
Yes.
The old pew pew pew.
You know, take the mask off the old long range of it.
I mean,
you could.
I would like to find out who that masked man is. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
What do you think of the Return of Bruce Wayne series?
This is a series coming out right now from Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne is being sucked through time.
Sure.
And may or may not destroy the world when he finally gets home. That's what's going on there.
Right.
Pete, what do you think?
It's classic, kind of like crazy Morrison. But normally in this series, I'm into it, and I feel like there's a means to an end. But right now, we're kind of in the middle of it, and I'm like, I don't care that Batman was a caveman and wore a bat on his head.
Sounds a little too sci-fi.
Yeah, and then he was a pilgrim Batman.
And wore a bat on his head.
And, and then he was a cowboy Batman. Like, what? This is ridiculous. I know it's comic books, but still.
What?
It was
pirate.
And then like Chimney Sweep.
He was Chimney Sweep, and then he was Step Up to the Batman. I think.
Oh.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
He loves that movie.
Step Up Batman 3D?
Yes. I would definitely see that.
That's
oh my god, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
The dark up? No? The Step Knight?
The Step Knight?
All right, I'll keep working on this and I'll get back to you guys.
I like that one so much more. The other two words are great.
This is great. Thank you for coming to our movie focus group. I'm enjoying the series. I think it's a lot of fun. I do like the Morrison craziness. I do like...
You do like seeing Batman in the cave. Like
well, this is...
Like
I was reading an interesting...
Bat.
Me,
you're
bad,
man.
Me,
man.
Mad,
yeah.
You have woman.
Yeah.
How come to cornfield with me? I was reading something recently that was talking about how Morrison has two entirely different views on Batman. One is the super sci-fi hero Batman. The other is super detective Batman. And this series is a way of taking both of them and putting them together. So maybe it's not working for some people. I think it's working for me. I do agree there's not really an emotional focus to it necessarily. Cool?
All right. I'll accept that.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
With Avengers, New Avengers, Secret Avengers, and Dead Avengers, will there be Old Avengers?
I don't see how they couldn't. They're
so
putting
saying,
as many names in front of the word Avengers as possible.
Now, I assume we're not saying former Avengers. We're saying, like, over-the-hill Avengers who are in a nursing home together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I just read what's on the question.
All right. Well, offer your opinion.
Yes.
Great. Then the answer is yes.
Yes.
Old Avengers. Who's with me?
Okay. Who do you want to see on Old Avengers, Pete?
I want to see semi-retired Avengers. That would be awesome.
Like they work at Walmart part-time?
Yeah, yeah. They're like Walmart greeters, and then also they fight crime.
Right. They're like, my 401k didn't really pan out for the Avengers, so I got to take a job at the bookstore.
I'd like
to keep
see
solving.
What the old Hulk does with his time.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably
deep gardening and yelling at kids right from the
stay off my lawn. I'll smash you.
Trying to smash peas with his teeth. We know I have teeth, it don't work.
That was so sad to picture that.
Oh. Okay, well, raise your hand if you ask that. Pete is going to bring you some free comics. Do we have enough to do a lightning round?
Sure.
All right, we're going to do a lightning round where the first answer is always correct. So let's hit it.
Justify why Hawkeye was worthy to lead the West Coast Avengers.
He's got good eyes.
Good eyesight.
All right. Next question.
What is your end game?
Who wants to know? Next question.
What if the classic Avengers fought the new Avengers? Who would win?
Classic meaning the original lineup.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the new Avengers.
I'm gonna say new.
All right. Yeah. There we go. That's correct. Then let's get the next question.
This is for me. What's under your robe? Your superhero costume? And then there's a smiley face.
Somebody's got a date in the cornfield.
I don't want to go to the cornfield. My answer. No, my answer is smiley face. And the last question is, what is your secret?
Who wants to know? That's it for your audience questions. Guys,
we're going to get to your secret. I think it's the sideburns.
Oh, thanks, Pete.
That's not a secret.
Don't touch it.
All right. Step for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Very exciting. Okay. All right, first thing we're going to talk about this past weekend was Chicago Comic Con, or rather Wizard World Chicago, out in Chicago. And one of the guests of honor at the con was Rob Blagojevich.
Woo! Yeah.
Might I mention, Wizard World Chicago, which is a comic convention. Now, he was there actually not just to show up, not just to offer his good wishes, but actually to sign things. Specifically pictures for $50 a pop, and apparently had the longest line of anybody at the con.
That is ridiculous. Very upsetting. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Pictures of himself for 50 bucks?
People were willing to pay. Well, here's my question for you guys.
Well, if you're Chewbacca, I'll do it.
Is Kevin Sorbo?
Yeah!
He wishes.
And in fact, the only person that was charging more for a picture was William Shatner.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wait, everybody
he
else.
He charges for pictures?
What?
He charges for pictures?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get online. Yeah.
Well, here's my question for you guys. Clearly, the gut reaction is, why is Rob Blagojevich at a comic convention? But fact of the matter, he was there. He was able to sell pictures. People were interested in it. People were talking about it. Does that make it okay?
No way.
Why not?
I'll tell you what, I would wait in a line for like 2 hours and pay $50 to punch him in the face and be like, get out of my convention. You don't belong here.
What if you paid $50 and he was like, you punch him in the face and he was like, thank you, all right, next person.
And then the next person. Still be worth it. Still be worth it. It's like,
what you should do is you should give him one of those presents that maybe...
Yeah, one of those. Only if Vaughn could write a book for him. Why would someone say, great, he's here?
I've talked to a few people who are strange. It seems like he's strangely sort of like a folk hero now. Like, I know people who are
like
wanting him to get off from these charges. Like, I don't know. I don't know why.
He's the worst.
People are sheep, man. Like,
well, he was on
the reality show.
Yeah, he was on a couple of reality shows. He was on The Celebrity Apprentice.
I get it. He's got good hair, but like...
Really? I paid $50 for a picture with his hair.
Yeah.
Like, just separate.
You being like...
with the hair on you.
I'd like to scalp him and pay $50.
Man, that would be
like,
so sad.
There's like a growing sort of like anti-government slant in the country. So I think anybody... I'm sure there's a lot of people who see somebody going up against the government and winning in a way. They're like, yeah, if you... America, or you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
that,
but does that belong at a Comic-Con?
Yeah, what does that have to do with Comic-Con?
Well, everybody else is at Comic-Con, so I guess they just throw it.
He is from Chicago, too, right? I mean, I guess that's...
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Well, they did have deep dish pizza there, side of stuff.
They should've.
When we were at C2E2, they did have a guy on the Chicago Bears... that nobody was going to see. That, and I thought that was kind of like... I was like, it's a good idea because he's from Chicago, but who at a comic convention is going
to
be Brian Urlacher, what's up, bro? You know what I mean? Like, that's a wrong crowd. So I'm surprised.
Well, they probably stayed away because they were afraid he was going to wedgie them.
I feel like... I'm just surprised that he was such a big hit, though. Yeah.
So did Glee... belong at Comic-Con in San Diego?
No.
Well, this is part of the argument I think that people have been having online a lot is the fluid definition of what a Comic-Con is. You would think it would mean comic book convention, but particularly with San Diego, it's now an all-purpose entertainment convention with comics taking a very small portion of that. And same thing, Wizard World, across the board, is positioning themselves as, well, we're that side of things. We're an entertainment convention. We're not a comic book convention. And part of that is that they've had some shady dealings, and the major comic book publishers have said, we don't want to show up there, so they don't actually have comic books anyway. So they have to position themselves that way. The end. All right, we're going to move... Oh, yes.
were you going to say something? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I don't.
Deb, what's your opinion on this?
I was just laughing about deep dish pizza. Oh, okay. Who's the go-to Chicago celebrity pizza?
I don't know a guy.
Was your question, did they have marble carts there?
Yeah. Nice. All right, next thing we're going to talk about, there's been a lot of talk, or rather very, very little talk online this week about the Fantastic Four reboot. Specifically, Fox is moving forward with it. This is the old cast. Don't worry, you guys. The talk, Dan, maybe you can correct me on this, but they're talking about Adrian Brody for Mr. Fantastic and Amber Heard for Invisible Woman.
I just thought it was funny because I read the casting news online and I was trying to think, I was saying to a friend of mine, is this going to be like the first time that there was casting rumors for either a sequel or a reboot of something where people online wouldn't be pissed no matter who it was? And it's like the next Batman movie, no matter who they cast as a villain, everyone's like, all right, you better be awesome. Yeah. And this one, it's just like, oh, who's in the Fantastic Four? Like, who cares? You're going to be better than the original, like, no matter what.
Yeah, pretty much.
No matter what they do. It's like the smallest expectations of like a movie to fulfill.
Well, is there anybody, are there any actors that would make it worth it, that would make you actually super excited for a Fantastic Four reboot?
Good question.
That's a stumper. I was asking anybody.
Yeah. Maybe Mr. T is the Thing. I would go see that.
Great.
Mr. T is Invisible Woman. I'd go see
that.
Mr. T is the Human Torch.
That's ridiculous. No. Why would that... No, it makes no sense.
All right.
About Matthew Fox for Mr. Fantastic,
yes.
Or John Hamm. Also good.
For John... I'm sorry. I thought you were. Sorry. I thought for a second you were like Matthew Fox as
John
Mr. Slattery Fantastic, or John Hamm as Matthew Fox in the movie.
Yes.
What about that? Can we get John Hamm to play Matthew Fox in the Fantastic?
I kind of wouldn't mind seeing John Hamm as the Punisher.
What?
I kind of wouldn't mind seeing John Hamm as the Punisher.
Oh man, it would be a sexy Punisher.
A seventh failed Punisher movie. Like, we're gonna get to 10.
Do you think at this point, how can we tank the next one? How can we keep tanking these Punisher movies?
Now, are they trying to do a twist where it's going to be like year one Fantastic Four? Or what?
Nobody knows at this point. The only reason they're doing it is so that the Fantastic Four contract doesn't expire and go back to Marvel. Because what nobody at Fox wants to see is Marvel get it back, make a great Fantastic Four movie, and then they look super stupid. Which is more stupid than they currently do for making the first two Fantastic Four movies. All right, we're going to move on. Next thing to talk about, one of our favorite series here on the show, Lock and Key, it was announced today, is going to be turned into a television series, which is very exciting. Even more exciting than that, which we're very excited for Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez, who created it, it's actually being executive produced by Steven Spielberg for DreamWorks TV. I always forget their names, but Alex Kurtzman and Robert Orci, who oversee Fringe and did Transformers and a bunch of other stuff, are actually writing and producing, and they're working with... I completely blanked on the name, the guy who did Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. So, what do you guys think about this? Are you excited to see it on TV?
I am excited, but I'm also nervous.
How so?
Just because I love the comics so much, I would be really pissed if they put out something that wasn't as good as the, you know. I mean, that's going to be tough because a lot of the Rodriguez's art did such a great job of bringing to life the suspense, the, you know, I mean, obviously, it was just groundbreaking for me, so this television series has to try to push the envelope like the comic did. So, you know, hopefully they get the right people in place for it, but it's still going to be like a little, oh, God, don't suck.
One other thing that's actually good about it is they're using the same model that Steven Spielberg is using for a show that's coming up called Terra Nova, where they're actually making the show, they're making the pilot of the show, and then going to sell it around to networks. So they're working on it regardless. They're not waiting for a network to pick it up or anything like that. So they're trying to make it, hopefully, as good as it possibly can be. So
we'll see.
Well, if there's a saving grace, too, I feel like no matter what Spielberg's involvement is, having his name attached to it is kind of like a bubble around it. That it can, you know, it can protect them from... If you have a name like that, you know, you can sort of protect the creative process a little bit from the network sometimes, more than, like, if they just sign some, like, up-and-coming writer, you just put them on a network, they could meddle all they want.
It's like what happened with it's like what happened with Amazing Stories. Cool. All right. Next, we'll talk about Ghost Rider. You guys want that back? You want another movie for that, right? So, Ghost Rider 2, Spirit of Vengeance. Get ready for it. With Nicolas Cage is starting to film this year, next year, actually, at this point, and it's going to be coming out in 3D.
Nothing worse. Nothing worse than like crappy skeleton work in 3D. That is good.
3D was like the seventh most offensive part of that. It's like, not 3D, the rest of that, it was fine.
In retrospect, it was.
There's nothing fine about that.
Yeah. Is there anything that can make you go see this movie?
No.
A pot brownie.
I mean, they might as well. It was such a joke the first round. I would just think if they pushed it in a way to like make fun of itself, like having the Ghost Rider have like one of those black T-shirts that has like just skeleton bones on it, and have him be like, "It was so bad."
Make that noise again.
So you're saying in the second movie you'd like to see a guy imitating a skeleton?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I avoided the first one because I heard so many bad reviews. So but awful. If Nicolas Cage plays the same character that he did in Wicker Man and does the Ghost Man movie, I think it'll be savable.
I would go see it if it was called Ghost Man. That would be awesome. Last but not least, another little piece of movie news. Joss Whedon talking about the Avengers movie. Mentioned, of course, that Black Widow, played by Scarlett Johansson, is going to be in the movie. But that is not going to be the only woman in the movie, because otherwise it's a little bit of a sausage fest. There's not going to be another female Avenger on the team, but there is going to be other women in the movie.
What kind of announcement is that?
Are the Avengers
it's
standing?
It's a sausage fest, isn't it?
Are the Avengers like standing outside like a frat house, like making sure they have enough girls?
Probably. There's one scene where a car with girls drive by, and they're like, "Oh, we're not going in there." That's the kind of faces girls make, right? How do you lose your virginity? Yes. Never mind. We'll talk about it after the show. It's fine. Who would you like to see in the movie, lady-wise?
Character-wise or
actor? No, lady-wise.
Which
wise
are we talking about?
Shakira.
I just think that is such a weird statement for Joss Whedon to make. Like, don't worry. There's gonna be ladies. Old Joss Whedon's on the case.
Is that for the male fans or the female fans?
I don't know. All I know is that he signed off with like an ASCII picture of tits at the end.
Elijah Dushku.
You still want the last scene in the movie to be Wonderful Tonight playing and like six Avengers lined up like with no dance.
Like. No date, yeah, just like.
Yeah. One person dancing with Black Widow.
Yeah. And Ghost Rider comes by dancing with Ava Mendez, like.
This is the old top hat.
Is she going to be there?
Ava Mendez?
Ghost Man?
Yes, Ghost Man is going to be in it, as well as Ava Mendez. Look forward to the Avengers in 2012.
In 3D!
Eva?
Eva Mendez?
I don't know.
Ava?
Eva.
Avocado Mendez? You guys.
Okay.
I don't know.
I liked it.
Okay, all right. Well, we've gotten the signal that that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Guys, it is time for our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right.
Hey. This is part of the show where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand.
Do it.
$25 free.
Yeah.
Sir, come on down. What is your name, sir?
My name is Jeremy Wilson, and I'm from Dallas, Texas.
All right, Jeremy Wilson from Dallas, Texas. Audience, Jeremy Wilson from Dallas, Texas. All right. So this is how this is going to work. I'll put this here. This is your possible gift card.
All right.
Okay, so how this works is... you listen to the question, then listen to all three possible answers. get that right, and then go 3 for 3. Gift card yours. Okay, so today's trivia is on Chew, which is an amazing comic that Apple... Wow. I can't even read.
It's the paint.
It's an amazing comic that Alex never wants to talk about. So, here we go. Wait. Question number one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Thank you, Boothman. Don't let the music psych you out. Okay, here we go. The main character, very dramatic, Tony Chu, is a SIBOpath. What does that mean? Does it mean, A, when he eats something, he gets a psychic impression? B, when he smells something, he gets a psychic impression? Or is it C, Cleo is a liar?
What?
So it's either A, which would be the correct answer, or it's B. You should still be thinking of
Pete, I'm going to go with A.
Yeah! All right, here we go. And the latest issue, Chu discovers Frickin, which is it A, half Frankfurter, half chicken, half frog, half chicken, or C, a Ned Flanders swear word? Aw, frickin'. Is it A, or would it be B? Which, B.
Nice. I'm gonna go with the second one.
Yes! A is correct. Nobody wants to mess with you, but still, okay, here we go. Chu has won tons of accolades that Zeldin does not care about. Which award hasn't Chu received? Is it A, New York Times bestseller list, B, the Eisner Award, or C, the Pudgy Tummy Award? Which one hasn't it received?
Has not.
Yeah. I would go the one that doesn't sound like a real
like
award.
Like a real award.
Yes.
It's either the first one or the third one.
New York Times bestseller list is an actual thing that you can accomplish. And the Eisner Award is also something that you can accomplish. But the Pudgy Tummy Award.
It's number three!
Yeah! Yeah! Being harassed. Hey, $25 free.
It's almost like he didn't care about the gift certificate.
He was just so excited.
Yeah, right?
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Scalped. It's an amazing series. If you don't know what it is, shame on you.
Wow.
Go
brilliant.
Get it.
Cool. Don't tell them what it is, just shame on you.
Yeah.
What's it about?
Oh, geez. I mean, how do you sum up that series? It's, you
what
know.
What kind of box is it like?
What?
What kind of box is it like?
Exactly. If you open up the box, the hand reaches out and lightly does this. That's how good this
now,
series
is. Now, what
if
you don't have a beard?
That still does it. It's still fantastic.
It puts a beard on you.
Yeah! It's two hands. One puts a beard on, and then the
this
second one's
weird.
Like,
weird.
Yeah.
Again.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Superman Batman number 75, actually, which is being done as a bunch of short comic strips, sort of as a semi-sequel to Wednesday Comics. So I think it's actually going to be really cool and interesting read. I'm excited about that.
Nice.
Sean, what are you looking forward to?
Batman.
Great, good. And plug some of your stuff. What can people check out?
Well, you can see Pete and I perform Wednesday nights here at 10 p.m.
Ooh, yeah.
Team together. And then the book is, the website is lostoriginatedbook.com.
Nice, great. Dan, what are you looking forward to?
I couldn't help but notice there's an Archie comic coming out next week or something. Is
they
that,
still do
is
it.
Is that a compilation or a new one?
Has the,
yeah,
gay, has the gay character come out yet? Isn't there a gay...
Yeah, they've been doing a whole bunch of things, really crazy things, like Archie marrying Betty and then Veronica. There's a gay character. There was... What? He kissed one of Josie and the Pussycats. I think
that's crazy.
Whoa.
Whoa.
What decade is it in?
What decade?
Yeah.
Do they have cell phones?
I think it takes place now.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
Yeah, I know for sure.
Good. It takes place in the 1920s. They actually... Archie went for backwards continuity.
Ask me anything!
Cool. Okay, guys, a couple of things before we go. You can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Sean for being on the show.
Yeah!
Jam!
Yeah!
Boothman! But most of all, we'd like to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thanks, everyone!